Chapter 46. Adeline stared at the driver's license. Her license. Danielle's license. Her license. It was the link between the two halves of her life, the half she'd already lived and the half she had yet to live. Both periods took place over the same stretch of 19 years, because she was Danielle. It was enough to break her mind. Her stomach broke first. She scrambled to the flower bed by the cafe's door, bent over, and emptied the meal Danielle had served her at home. The last meal she had served herself. The night she had given her the earrings, knowing she would need them. The night she had put her in Absalom and sent her back to do the things she knew had already happened. Danielle's words echoed through her mind like a bowling ball through a china shop, shattering her. "The past cannot be changed. It must occur as it did." If that was true, was she destined to kill Nora? Adeline decided then and there that she wouldn't do it. No matter what secrets were lurking here in the past, she wouldn't let it change her. She wouldn't become a killer, not even if causality required it. The thin stacks of reality and events that needed to occur could break for all she cared. She wasn't going to become a monster for the sake of the universe. It could all end, because becoming a murderer would end her. If that was being selfish, then she was selfish. The thought of killing Nora made her wretch again. The cafe door opened and a man in his mid-twenties leaned out, a disappointed look on his face. Adeline probably looked like a day-drinking college student, maybe one who had bombed a big test, or just been dumped, or just couldn't handle her liquor. She wiped her mouth and shrugged. He simply shook his head and slipped back inside. Adeline ventured back out into the rain, making her way to one of the jewelry shops. If she hadn't been there before, they probably wouldn't have allowed her soaking wet form inside, but they knew what she had to sell. "I found my ID," she said as she slipped the earrings across the counter, "and I want to know what number is on the stones." 3 hours later, Adeline was dry and sitting in the small living area of her extended-stay hotel room. On the coffee table was approximately $7,000 in cash, the balance that remained after buying what she needed. Clothes from Goodwill, a Metro PCS prepaid cell phone, and a compact Presario laptop at Circuit City, and 2 nights' stay at the hotel. There was also a small slip of paper on the table, with 10 numbers written on it, the numbers that had been engraved on the earrings. Adeline sensed that it was the other thing she needed. She punched the numbers into the phone and a man answered on the second ring. His accent was Asian, and he spoke so fast Adeline could barely understand him.
"Shen Foto."
"Hello, do you have something waiting for me?"
"Name?"
Adeline swallowed. "Danaros. Danielle."
"Spell it."
As she spelled it, she heard him typing on the keyboard.
"No."
When she hung up, Adeline looked up the store online. There was no website and scarcely any information about it, only an address in East Palo Alto. She turned on the TV and switched to CNBC.
"Financials were hit again today, despite the Fed's move on Friday to inject $200 billion of liquidity into markets to help them stem the credit collapse. Shares of MF Global plunged 60% on the day, and Lehman Brothers stock dropped 20% on fears that either or both could be the next Bear Stearns. Government-supported housing lenders were also in the crosshairs of sellers as Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac rushed to the exit. Even financial execution stocks were punished, with E-Trade, TradeStation, and Interactive Brokers all dropping."
Adeline smiled and shook her head, remembering those lines Danielle had said in the library. "Right now, you don't care about money because you have it. You've never had to wonder how you'll afford your next meal." Adeline looked at the stack of cash on the table. It was all the money to her name. Danielle's words echoed again. "You're assuming your circumstances will never change." "They could. They do for a lot of people. In the blink of an eye. 1 minute your family is rich, the next you're carrying every dollar to your name in your pocket. You have no home, and you don't know where you're going to sleep that night." At the rate she was expending cash on the hotel room and food, She would be broke shortly. She glanced back to the muted television. The financial education Danielle had imparted had indeed been important. She navigated to the E-Trade website and began opening an account. She got as far as the page that asked for her social security number. This wasn't going to work. She would probably run into the same issue if she tried to get a normal job. Any background check would likely reveal that the ID was a fake. Adeline's gaze drifted back to the 10 numbers on the slip of paper on the coffee table. The solution to her problem was right here. She was dead tired. She had left her time at night and arrived in the past in mid-morning. She had probably been unconscious for a while after Danielle knocked her out, but she was still exhausted. For the most part, she had been running on adrenaline. But she knew that time was of the essence now. She had to keep pushing forward. The thing she needed would take time to make. She took a cab to East Palo Alto, to the strip mall that housed Shen Photo. It was a cramped little store, with a booth for passport photos and chairs lined up under the plate glass window in the far wall. Several families were waiting in the store, speaking Spanish and Chinese in hushed tones. When the proprietor saw Adeline, he narrowed his eyes as if she was in the wrong place. "Picking up?" he asked. It was the same sharp voice she had heard on the phone. "No," she said, looking around, still confused. He held his hand out.
"Drop off?"
Adeline shook her head.
"Drop off what?"
The man grimaced, clearly annoyed, and motioned to the bags lying in bins behind him.
"Film." "I don't have any film."
Adeline scanned the people sitting in the folding metal chairs, then studied the man behind the counter, who was visibly nervous now.
"Okay," he said. "You go now."
Adeline did go, but she didn't go very far. She sat outside a Starbucks, in the same strip mall, at a table with a clear view of Shen Photo, watching the patrons come and go, an idea forming in her head. When she was sure the store was empty, she walked back inside and waited until the man emerged from the back room. She held out the California driver's license for Danielle Danaros.
"I need this to be a real ID."
"No, wrong place."
"I need it."
He shook his head.
"Wrong place."
His eyes drifted from Adeline's face to the middle of her chest. She knew what he was thinking. She glanced behind her, through the plate glass window, at the nearly empty parking lot. She had thrown the ink-stained dress away. She now wore a sundress with flowers on it that she'd bought at Goodwill. She reached down and pulled it up, revealing her pasty skin, panties, and bra.
"I'm not wearing a wire. I'm not a cop."
She let the dress fall back down.
"I need help. I need a social, and IDs that will pass a background check."
The man inhaled and exhaled. Adeline felt her fate hanging in the balance.
4,000.
She nodded, and he motioned to the picture booth.